Hey, I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here. The reason I wanted you to see that is we're in a series of talks about a person in the Bible named Jonah who is famous for being swallowed by a huge fish, which seems like it could just be a fantasy or a fairy tale. The reason, though, that we believe it is historical is because Jesus believed it and he taught about it, about this person named Jonah who's running from God. He doesn't trust what God wants to do in his life, so he runs from God. And I'm glad you're here today. Welcome to Eastlake. It's a church for everyone because we all run from God at some point. Maybe you look back and you can see a time in your life when you ran from God for a long time. Or maybe even in some area of your life you're still running. Maybe you know somebody that's been on the run for like all their life. They started running from religion or church, but the truth is they're still running from God. Maybe it's just some area of your life. For a lot of us, we'd say we like Jesus, we're with Jesus, but there's some area of my life that I run from God. Every time he speaks to me, every time it sort of comes up, some particular area of my life, I run away. He wants me to forgive someone that's hurt me, someone that's caused me harm and hurt me, and he comes and says, it's time to forgive them, and I say, no, God, and I run away. Or maybe he wants me to go to someone that I've hurt, and I'm still angry at them, and I'm still mad at them, and so when it comes time, God says, it's time to go and ask for forgiveness, I say, no, God, and I run away. We all have that time in our life, an area of our life, we run away from what God wants to do. We don't trust the Lord, and that's Jonah. Now remember last week we talked about him. He's a Jewish person. He lives in Israel. And God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is 500 miles north. And instead, Jonah goes 2,500 miles in the opposite direction to the south of Spain to a resort area that was sort of like the Las Vegas of his day. So Jonah just tells God a huge, like, no, God, no way, I'm not doing it, God. And we left the story in kind of a cliffhanger where Jonah is swallowed by this huge fish. He's on the run. What he finds out is that when you go the opposite direction, things unravel in your life, and it's worse to go the opposite direction. So now he's in the belly of this fish, and that's where we pick up the story. And here's what Jonah learns and what we're going to see today, because he says this prayer to God. God slows him down and says, have you run far enough? And that's the great thing about God when you're running from him. At some point, he'll slow you down and give you a chance to say, is it working? I'm telling God no because I don't trust him, but is it working? And it's at that time that Jonah decides to turn to the God before he can trust God. And that's the big idea this weekend. Write it in your notes. Turn to Jesus when you can't trust Jesus. And I know that probably sounds awkward because it's like, well, if I disagree with the Lord, I certainly have to run away with him. I mean, but the problem with that thinking is that it puts God in a box that he can't be with me when I disagree with him. Jonah finds out that you can disagree with God and still turn to God. When you can't trust Jesus, you can still turn to Jesus. And so this prayer that we're going to look at today in this part two of the story is all about what do I do when I don't trust Jesus, but it's time to turn to Jesus. So let's read it. Pull it out. We'll read it together. I'll make some comments as we go, and then we'll finish with a couple points of application. Jonah, the person that's running from God. I don't trust you, God. My answer is no. Now he's in the belly of this fish. He has a chance to rethink it, and he decides to turn to the Lord, even though he can't trust the Lord. Here we go. Here's what it says. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So think about it now. Jonah's inside of a fish, and like, picture it. I mean, it's like a really tight spot to be inside of a fish. It's dark, it's stinky, it's cold, you're all alone. And that's where Jonah is now. And it really is true that when I go the opposite direction, it ends up worse. And so now Jonah's inside this fish, and it's not a good place to be. And this is where he decides to turn to the Lord. And here's the question: how long will I run before I realize it's not working? Why do we wait so long to turn to Jesus? Why do we just keep going and going and going? Maybe it's this right here. It's like, how long will I run before I realize I have to stop and turn back? I mean, here's Jonah in the belly of a fish. And remember the story from last week. I mean, when the storm comes and about wrecks the boat that he's picked to escape on, Jonah doesn't stop. He still tells God no. So maybe there's a storm in your life right now and it's happening, but it's still like, no way, God, I don't trust you. And then when he, like, all the different people around him are going through things because of the decisions that Jonah made, so he's wrecking everybody else's life, and Jonah still doesn't say no. And then they pick him up, the sailors, and they throw him into the sea, the open water, and he still doesn't say no. And so here's the question, how long will I wait? What do I have to go through? How bad does it have to get before I finally say, okay, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stop telling God no. Now he's in the belly of a fish, pretty tight spot. We keep reading. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. Circle my. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now here's what Jonah realizes. He says, my distress. And here's the truth. We all get to choose what's distressful for us. We all get to decide when we've had enough. We all get to cry uncle. We each of us decide, okay, now it's gone too far. Maybe you've seen someone and you've been talking with someone else about them and you thought, when are they going to ever hit rock bottom? I mean, you know, they're never going to change. Have you ever thought this? You've seen someone. They're never going to change until they hit rock bottom, as if life is this total free fall that hopefully we're going to hit rock bottom someday. And here's the truth. I choose rock bottom. Rock bottom is a choice. You don't have to just free fall in your relationship. Free fall, hopefully I'll hit rock bottom someday, because when I do, I'll be ready to change. We choose distress. We get to say, I raise my hand, God, I have so had enough. It's my distress. I qualify it. I say, I've had enough. This has gone too far. I choose my rock bottom. You don't have to wait for it to happen. That's your choice. It's my choice. And Jonah says, I'm choosing now, God. I've had enough. I'm inside of a fish. It's stinky. It's dark. I'm all by myself. And I have had enough. Because if you go the opposite direction, it will end up worse. And so here he is. He's in the opposite direction. He says, okay, now. And then listen to what he says. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. So now here's Jonah. Here's what he says. He's saying to God, you know what? I ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and told you, no, you're not going to do something in that area of my life. God comes and says, I want to talk to you about your money so you can be generous. Oh, nope, not that area of my life, God. He talks to the men, no more looking at porn. Lord, a little too touchy, stay out. And you're like, no, no, no. And then Jonah says, I ran, 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 no, 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 God, until it almost killed me. That's a long time. We have a huge capacity for going the wrong direction. Jonah says, I was nearly dead. I bet if you're inside a fish, you're probably thinking, I'm just about dead. Surprised I'm alive. And then I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. Which, if you think about it, I mean, if there was ever a time you think God wouldn't listen, I mean, when someone rejects you and treats you poorly and runs away from you and abandons you and then comes back and wants to talk, how do you feel? And Jonah says, when I was almost dead, I had run so far, I had told you no so many times, I finally decided I'm going to cry out, and you heard my cry. How do you handle it when someone in your life finally wises up? You have anybody in your family or a friend, and you watch their life, and you watch their life, and they screw it up, and they mess it up, and they finally wise up. They finally admit the direction they're going is wrong. How do you handle them? Or maybe on the flip side, if I'm that person and I've like totally screwed up my life and I keep going the wrong direction, and then you finally admit it and someone says to you, I told you not to do that. I told you that would happen if you did that, but you wouldn't listen to me. You know what a lot of people are running from? A religious lecture. Or they anticipate that when they cry out to God, he'll scold them. And so they don't pray at all. And here's Jonah. I mean, he goes 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. He tells God a huge, big, fat no. And now he's in the like belly of this fish. And he cries out to God, probably thinking, will you even hear me? And he says, God heard my prayer. Because God loves runners. When he comes to you in an area of your life and he says, this is something now that I want to talk to you about, and we run away and we finally have run too far and we feel like we're about to die, and we finally decide, and here it is, you're just about to cry out to God, Jonah discovers that God listens. A lot of people don't see God that way. They feel like there's going to be a huge scolding the minute they start to talk or turn around. And a lot of times they get that from some kind of church experience or something that's happened in their family or with a teacher or a boss or a friend or a girlfriend or something. When they finally come to their senses, and it's such a deflating thing because when you finally get there, you're like, oh, crap, what was I thinking? And you come back and you go, and the first thing you get is a slap down. You're like, but you don't even know. I mean, I really mean it. I'm there now. Oh, no. No, 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 no. First you have to hear how I feel about what you did. And Jonah says God wasn't like that. Jesus told a story about it, how we see God. He said that there was this landowner that owned all this property. He was a rancher and farmer. And he decided to give three of his employees some money, and they called them talents. And that was what their money was called, Hebrew money. Gave them talents, and each got a certain amount of talents. And then they took the talents, and they were to earn money for this person that owned all this property on this ranch. And two of them were like, awesome. And then one comes back, and listen to what this one says. One comes back, he was given one talent, which is a sum of money, and he's hid it in the ground. He's hid it in the ground, he doesn't do anything with it, and he comes back and listen to what he says. Jesus telling this story now. Listen to what he says. He says, then the man who'd received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. You're a hard man. And Jonah finds out that God is not a hard man, because hard men don't listen to my cry. And hard men don't receive me back after I've rejected them. And God's not a hard man. Jonah gets to the end of it and he says, I have gone totally too far. And he cries out to God, and God listens. Let's keep reading. So there's Jonah right there. Now let's keep going. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Circle, you hurled me and all your waves. So remember from the story last week, you're probably like thinking, Jonah, you know, don't you know your own story? I mean, it was the sailors that hurled you into the waves. But here's Jonah now in hindsight. He's looking back at this time where he's inside the belly of a fish, and he remembers his prayer, and he says, yeah, I know it was the sailors, but as I look back, I can see God in the middle of my circumstances, using my circumstances to slow me down so I could turn back to the Lord. And sometimes when things happen in my life, it causes me to wonder, where's God? And would God be in the middle of these circumstances? And please know this, whenever you're running from God and you're in the middle of your circumstances, God never wastes a hurt. Jonah looks back, he says, you know what, I think you were sort of causing those waves, and you were causing all the things that were going through. At least you were in the middle of it. They weren't for nothing, because they're the very things that caused me to stop and turn back. And if you're in the middle of circumstances right now thinking, God, aren't you going to do something about this? This is a little overkill. Here's why it's happening, to give you a chance to stop. And just think about it and say, do I want to keep running? Do I want to keep saying no? God's always after the same thing when I'm running. He's trying to get me to a place of humility. All runners are heading to the same place. They're heading to a place of humility. They're heading to a spot of humility, because nothing ever changes until I can stop and humble myself. And Jonah looks back, he says, God, it's like you were using all of my circumstances to bring me to the place where I finally stopped and humbled myself and said, I need you. I can't go on like this. All the things that make you angry, all the things in the relationships that tick you off, all your money problems, your car breakdown, all that stuff, all that crap. I'm not saying that God causes it, but I am saying that he's in the middle of it, and he uses it to convince us, to stop us, and bring us to a place of humility. Because here's the worst thing that can ever happen. I'm telling God no, and I'm running from him, and I get stuck in a place that's just prior to humility. I get stuck in bitterness, or I get stuck in blaming other people for the problems in my life, or I get stuck in revenge, and I don't like where I'm at, but I'm stuck there. In Hawaii, my wife's Hawaiian, so we go there pretty often, and one of the great things to do in Hawaii is you go to the beach, and so you go to the beach, and you try to surf. And you can always tell in Hawaii the totally white person with the wrong kind of bathing suit trying to surf, and the locals are all laughing at you. But out you go into the water because you want to try to surf. And I always get the little short board because I can't do the big board. And I go out into the water and I try to surf. I try to cruise around on my little board. And I didn't know anything about the ocean at all when I got there. I was raised up in the mountains, rivers, and lakes. I didn't realize that in the ocean goes two different directions. I thought that the ocean just came in. And so I'm out in the water a little bit, and when it came time to get out of the water, I didn't realize that the water comes in, and you know this if you've been in the ocean, but the water also goes back out. I had no idea. Nor did I know that they had a thing in Hawaii called the washing machine. And what the washing machine is that perfect spot where the water's coming in and the water's coming out, and at the same time, they both converge. And the best thing in the world for the locals is to see a white person stuck in the washing machine. And that was me. Because you can't get out because the water's all coming against you like this, and you can't go this direction, and you're just sort of stuck between these waves that are just bashing you like this. You're putting on a show for everybody. It's so funny for them to see you stuck in the washing machine. And listen, when you're there, you don't know what to do. You can't go forward, you can't go backwards. You're just getting slammed by waves. And that's what happens when you get stuck, when you're running from God, and you never arrive at humility. You just get slammed from every direction. Why is my car breaking down? Why did my girlfriend leave me? Why is my mom sick? How come they don't like me at work? What? And you're just getting slammed backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, and you never really do get out. And Jonah says, that didn't happen to me. God pulled me out of the washing machine and used my circumstances to bring me to a place of humility. Is there any area of your life and you're in the washing machine? And here's how you know. I go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, and I never get away. When I got in the washing machine, the only thing I could do was just stop. That's what they trained you. Stop swimming, stop doing everything, and just let the current grab you and take you out. And then swim around. And Jonah says, I didn't get stuck there. Now let's keep reading. So Jonah's talking about his circumstances, and listen to this right here, because this is interesting. After he's been through these circumstances, and it finally brings him to a place of humility, here's what we read. I said, Jonah talking, I've been banished from your sight. Now this is interesting, because when you're running from God, or let's make it a little broader, whenever you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, or you're not doing something that you know you should. And Jonah says, I've been doing that for quite some time now. And now I've stopped. God used my circumstances to bring me to a place of humility. And here's the crazy thing. As soon as I got there, there was a load of shame waiting for me. And that's a reality of life. I finally get out of the washing machine. I finally stop running from God. I finally stop telling him, no, I've had my fill. I'm not going to do it anymore. God, I'm done. I'm here. I'm ready to go. And there is a load of shame waiting for me because of the life that I've lived. And listen to how Jonah describes it. He said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I'll look again towards your holy temple. Here's what he's saying. God, I finally decided I wanted to be with you, and now I don't know if you want me. Because I have a lot of shame in my life. You know, and God will work in our lives in a way that allows shame to sort of come off like an onion. In fact, you may have a scar somewhere on your heart, and you're wondering, when is God going to ever take that scar off? Because it seems very severe, because it's just always there, always there. And here's the truth. I need the scar because it reminds me where I shouldn't return to. And I have learned this about shame. It sort of comes in, goes like a wave. I mean, all of a sudden you feel like, gosh, I'm right with God and he took all my shame away. I feel great now. And then something will trigger a thought. It could be a song. You see somebody, like all of a sudden, and here comes this wave of shame. Because when I'm running, Here's what it is. I'm running away from God, or I'm running away from something I do. As I'm running, I can kind of ignore the shame and push it down. I can push it down, push it down. It's like, oh, come on, everybody does this. I mean, it's not like I'm doing anything wrong. You just keep talking to yourself, ignoring, and you push the shame down, push the shame down. But then when you stop, it's startling. This has all been accruing, and it doesn't all go away at once. It can be very, very confusing. It can be confusing that God takes the shame away in increments. Like, do you love me, God? Have I been banished from your sight? Why is this shame still here? And please know this about shame. Shame doesn't go away. It has to be taken away. So if you've been struggling, thinking, gosh, I've been good for like 3 weeks. Why is this shame still here? Or 3 months or 3 years? Because shame is taken away. And God takes it away in proportions. And he leaves a little behind. So I remember. Don't go there again. Don't go there again. Do you remember what it was like to be in the fish? Don't go there again. Listen to him describe what it's like. I've been banished from your sight. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. And that's what it feels like. And it'll never go away. It can only be taken away. It's very normal and natural to feel shame. It's something that we have to have. I know we live in a world that says it's bad, but the truth is we desperately need it. Because it shows me where not to go again. And God says, it will never go away, but I'll take it away. Now listen to Jonah as he continues. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life out of the pit. Listen to how God takes it away. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life out, up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah says, in due time, when you were ready, pulled me up out of it, because shame doesn't go away. It doesn't go away because I'm good. I do really good now. Oh, look at me, I'm doing better. I don't do that anymore. It doesn't go away. And it'd be confusing for you unless you realize that God takes it away. And maybe today you need to ask him and say, Lord, it doesn't seem like you're taking enough away. I need you to take a measure of this shame away. And that's great, because that's what Jonah does. He's ashamed of himself because of how he's acted. That's not a bad thing. But to live in shame without knowing that God will take it away, that's hopelessness. And Jonah says, when it felt like I was going to die, my life was ebbing away, you pulled me up. And keep reading. Here's what he says. He says, those who cling to worthless idols turn from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Those who turn to worthless idols turn away from your love. So all my life, I've always liked those movies where people get superpowers. So I don't know if you've ever done this, maybe when you're a kid or you still do it. Like, you tell your friends, you like say, what kind of superpower would you get? Or if you could have 5 superpowers, what kind would you have? I've always thought about superpowers. I mean, sometimes my favorite superpower is I want to be invisible. That's usually, you know, like when I'm mad at somebody, I want to be invisible at their house so I can totally screw stuff up and they don't know I'm there. Or like sometimes my superpower would be I want to fly. I don't know if you ever had that as your superpower. I mean, just think for a second. If you could have any superpower, of course, everybody knows the stupidest superpower is Aquaman. That's the dumb superpower. But I mean, if you could like have any superpower of any of the superpowers, which superpower would you have? I even like James Bond a lot. I like all the movies, even the old cheesy ones, because James Bond always gets these like superpower things in the beginning, like little gadgets and weapons to help him save the world. Because like we all dream about if I could have a superpower. Like, what superpower would you choose if you could have any superpower? And Jonah's forgotten something about superpower. The problem in the very beginning when God says, I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. You're going to have to trust me. And Jonah looks at the circumstances and says, I can't do that. But he forgets about the superpower. Because the greatest superpower in the entire universe is God's love. The greatest superpower is that I'll always be saved. God is calling you in an area of your life and you run away. You're like, I cannot do that. God, I know Jonah. He's like, God, I cannot do what you're asking me to do. He forgot that when you go do difficult things with God, even in your own personal life, he will always save the day because he loves you. He says, salvation comes from the Lord. He learns it now in the fish, though. He finally gets it. He goes, oh, that's right. You weren't just sending me to Nineveh on my own. You were sending me there with superpower, your love, and you will save the day in the middle of my difficult times. What is it God's calling you to do? It's not a mistake you're here today. And please, don't push it to the margins and just think, well, of course it's that, but I'm never looking at that. I mean, honestly, if you had a magic wand and you could just make it happen, there's no God, there's no nothing, there's just magic, and you found a magic wand under your seat, whoa, I get one wish. What would it be? You know you're supposed to do it. You've never been able to. God brought you here today to tell you salvation belongs to the Lord, and the best superpower there is his love for you. And whatever he's calling you to do, it is possible because salvation belongs to the Lord. Look what happens for Jonah. We finish up the story. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Which I thought about that. That was probably kind of weird and fun at the same time. Like the ultimate super slippery slide. I mean, can you imagine, like, and just like, whew, this is going to be a story for the guys when we get together. I mean, that's what happens to Jonah, and now he's on to dry land again. Now let's look at a couple things. Turn your outline over, just a couple areas to apply. Number one, the Lord gives me grace and correction. Now don't miss this. This is the part of the sermon where it becomes personal for your life, because oftentimes in life, God will give you grace. You will not get what you deserve. It will go far better than it should. You'll get something that was beyond your wildest dreams. And then there'll be other times that you get correction. And it's simultaneous. It's both and. God does both. Jonah gets a lot of grace. But he gets a lot of correction. And he needed both. And we have to see God as someone that does both. There's lots of times that he treats me in ways that's far better than I should be treated, and that's called grace. And there's other times that he corrects me. Now the question is, do I want a God that gives correction? Or do I just like a God that gives grace? Or was I raised on a God that only gives correction, and I never saw grace? Can you be a person today that can believe it's both? He gives grace in a context of correction, and he corrects in an environment of grace. And Jonah got both. And then the second thing is, the goal is not to pay you back, it's to bring you back. In the middle of all your difficult circumstances, I can't pay my bills, I want a bigger house, these kids are driving me crazy, I need a better job. In the midst of all those circumstances, God is not trying to pay you back. He's trying to bring you back. All those circumstances are designed to bring you to a place of humility. One of the really famous programs, everybody's heard of the 12-step program. In the very, very beginning, it's the place of humility. It's like, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the power to do this. I need someone bigger than me. And the reason that's been such a powerful program that helps so many people in so many different ways with addictions is because the very beginning is so powerful. I have arrived at a place of humility. Every runner is heading towards humility because God wants to bring everyone back. He's not about paying you back. He doesn't get any joy out of seeing you pay. There's a guy at work I've been mad at for 2 or 3 months, and I get mad at him, and then I'm not mad at him, and then I get mad at him, and I just can't shake it. It's like a daily thing. But here's what's been constant. Whenever he sells something, I don't like it. Whenever I see him prosper, he sells something. I don't like it when he sells something. But when I see him on the verge of getting a deal, and he's just about to sell it, and he doesn't get it, I have a quiet delight. I have this joy come over me, like, you got chipped out of that. That's called revenge. And here's the good news. God's not like me. just because someone hurt me now, I'm struggling, I want to pay them back. I want them paid back for what they did to me. And it feels good. God's not like that. He's not in the middle of your circumstances to pay you back. He doesn't get a quiet delight to see you suffer. He wants to pull your life up out of it because he wants to bring you back. And here's why, right? The last thing we're going to say today, the bottom line, the Lord gives everyone another chance. Jonah says this, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. Now listen, here's Jonah now inside of a fish, and he says, I'm going to make a sacrifice to God. Jewish people made sacrifices in a temple. It was a big, huge thing. You use fire and had everything be perfect. And Jonah's saying he's going to sacrifice because here's what he thinks. I'm going to get out of this fish. Here's what I've learned about God. He's not going to leave me in here. He's going to give me another chance. Before he ever was at a position to sacrifice unto the Lord, he knew he would because he believed he was going to get another chance. And let me read it to you, because here's the other chance. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh, I hope to shout. Because he was given another chance. Do you need another chance in any area of your life? And maybe you messed up that area so many times, you're like, another chance? I'm on my 6,500th chance now. And notice I didn't say a second chance, because a second chance is definitely not enough for a human being. It's another chance. So if you grab your connection cards with me and look on the back, I'm glad you're at Eastlake today, good place to be, talking about the person of Jonah. And just look on the back where it says, my next step. And one thing to check today is it says, today I'm turning. Because you may not be able to trust God in some area of your life. It could be money, it could be sex, it could be your marriage, it could be your kids, it could be a job, it could be your living situation. And you don't trust Him. Just admit it. I don't trust you, God. My answer is no. But today the story is, I can turn to the Lord. I can turn to Jesus before I trust Jesus. And that's all I'm asking. Today, could you turn? That's all. Could you turn to the one that will hear your prayers and your cries and take your shame away? Could you turn to the one that will give you another chance?